Last week we spoke about the segula of reading the Ketoret every single day, the significance of reading it and reading it specifically from a klaf, like a Sefer Torah, written on parchment in Ashurit, and the halachic challenges that manifest themselves in writing Pesukim, Parashiyot of the Torah, on a klaf. This week I want to do part two of that, namely the Lam Natzeach Minorah. Lam Natzeach Min Ginot Mizmor Shir is something that we recite every single day, numerous times a day, and not whether it be Shacharit or Mincha, and in fact at many other parts of the day as well. And if you're Persian, there's even a tune, Lam Natzeach Min Ginot Mizmor Shir Elohim, etc. Ayin Sham, your Motzei Shabbat, old Persian Mirza Ava, singing it so beautifully. I love it. In the words of some of my really, really Persian friends, I haul when I hear these things. So, I love it. It's great. We'll discuss that more next week, maybe, this Ad Hashem. But it's a very special mizmor that, honestly, I never appreciated as much as I do now until I started preparing this chaburah. I was preparing this anyway, but now I started paying more attention to it and looking into it more. I really developed more of an appreciation for it. And not only will we be discussing the mizmor, but we'll also be discussing what is known as the Shiviti Menorah. Is this mizmor, as it is basically written and printed, written, so nicely in the shape of a menorah, as you can find printed in your sidur and on the walls of your Beit HaKnesset, with Lam Natzeach Min Ginot, the first pasuk on the top, and six and a half pasukim as the branches and base of the menorah, the Shiviti menorah that is in your sidurim. I wanted to discuss the significance and halachic advantages and challenges of that. Before we get into that part, I think it's very important. Something I can tell you, like, I literally just developed this appreciation recently, and it's Baruch Hashem thanks to our chavura that is such a drive to pay more attention to my own tefillah. What the words mean? What do the words mean? Lam Natzeach, Niginot, Ashir. Okay, Lam Natzeach, we all start for the conductor, Niginot, Ashir, fine. But the words after that, the words that are different. Elohim Yechoneinu Vivarecheinu. Ya'er Panav Itanu Sela. If you have a seat available, I highly recommend to have it open also, not to read off my little screen. Elohim Yechoneinu Vivarecheinu. Hashem should have grace, have pain for us. Yivarecheinu, should bless us. Ya'er panav itanu sela, he should light up and cause his countenance, light up his face, and he cause his face to shine on us forever. Ladad bar starkecha, this is round number one. Ladad bar starkecha, mechol agoyim yishuatecha. That Hashem, your ways should be known throughout the land. Mechol goyim yishuatecha, your salvation should be known amongst all of the goyim. This is called a chiasm. Oftentimes in Nevi'im and Ketuvim, we have the same words said twice, same idea expressed twice in different words. This is not such a clear one, but if you look throughout Yeshayahu and other Sifrei HaNevi'im, you'll find many Pesukim that are very redundant in Pshuto Shel Mikra. It's saying the same thing twice, just poetically. In Derashot and beyond, there's so much more of why it said it twice and whatever. But at the very least, in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the words, are saying the same thing, that Hashem should be recognized everywhere. Hashem should be recognized everywhere. Yoducha Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. The Amim should praise you, Hashem. The nations should all praise you. That's part number one. And it's praise. Next is part number two. Yismichu v'yiranenu le'olamim. The kingdom should rejoice and sing praises. Ki tishpod amim yishor olamim da'ar ba'aretz tamchem sela. Hashem will judge everyone favorably, fairly, and the kingdoms Hashem will lead them on earth forever. Again, yoducha, Yoducha Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. Again, everyone's going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Natanayi Gula, finally, closing. The land will give its produce. There will be Beracha in this world. Yivarachenu Elohim Eloheinu. Hashem will bless us. And we close with the words, Yivarachenu Elohim Viruoto Kolaf Se'aretz. Hashem will bless us. All ends of the world will fear Him. Four parts to this means more. There's the introduction, the Beracha from Hashem. There's the world recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising Him. Then part number three is everyone rejoicing over His judgment and recognizing His judgment, and again, praising Him. And the conclusion is a Beracha to the world in terms of the produce that it brings to us. All of that we say twice a day, at the very least, if not more, at the different times of year, as we will discuss, and as Rabbi Google can give you a million different pictures of people's very creative ways of drawing the exact same picture of the Shiviti menorah. Has Shiviti Hashem the Negdi Tamid, recognizing that Hashem Baruch is there at every moment, to instill Yirat Shamayim as the Mizmor ends, right? Yiru Oto Kolaf Se'aretz, which is all fear Hashem, knowing that He's there all the time. This is a very important Mizmor that we say every single day, and is very connected to Pitum HaKetoret for some reason. Before we develop more of the halachic and segula significance further, just to take another moment and to understand these four parts of the Mizmor actually have numerous interpretations. The whole Mizmor has numerous themes that the Mifarshim suggest it could be referring to. Now, number one, who wrote this Mizmor? Is this a David HaMelech Mizmor? Is this by somebody else? It seems to be a machloka between Ibn Ezra and others. Ibn Ezra thinks that we don't know who wrote it, whereas everyone else assumes that David HaMelech wrote it. Now, what is it referring to? What is it referring to? Is it just Stam at Tefillah? The Chida wrote a beautiful sefer, by the way. Beautiful sefer. The Chida wrote about 70 sefarim. Maran HaChida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, is one of the great, great Jewish leaders, thinkers, and just bibliographers, and Gedolei HaPoskim of the 18th century in Eretz Yisrael and in Italy and around the world. And he wrote, I believe, two or three sefarim on his Sefer Tehillim, two of them at the very least, called Chomar Anach and Yosef Tehillot. And in Chomar Anach, the Chida writes, by the way, Machon HaMaor put out a gorgeous new edition of the Sefer Tehillim Achida, which has all of them on the same page. Amazing, and it's a really quality Sefer. Gosh, if you're up for learning Tehillim with the eyes of the Chida, it's fantastic. They're putting out all the Sefarim. This is just one that I have. There are many more. I don't even have all of them yet. One day, hopefully. But in the meantime, the Chida. Yeah.
Quick question. Why is it sometimes the Lamaseach is written with an extra vav?
Where?
You know, the middle, the Shamash. Sometimes it's written correctly, and then sometimes they add a vav.
In the middle Pasuk?
Compare the different ones. No, the Pasuk does not have the extra vav. But when it's written in the menorah, sometimes they add the extra vav. If you look at your Google sheet, you'll see it.
Yeah, you mean like Yisnuchu?
Showing this on Google.
I'm looking around. On which word Yisnuchu? You're saying
what? Smack in the middle. I'm not saying.
Oh, in Binginot. In Binginot.
Right.
I have a feeling it's just
It's for Kamatriot.
People are just not realizing that there's no vav there. They write
No. It's there's a cheshbon for sure.
Cheshbon, you think so? It's not a kibbutz. Mine actual one has a nun.
Yeah, that's correct. But yeah. The old Avodat Kodesh has it with just a nun, and then the new ones have it with a vav.
Right. I think it's probably just there to help you like read it carefully.
Mine is also just nun.
It's also just nun. I see a nun in mats also, yeah. You're saying there's some of them that are printed with the vav also. That's Ariel holding
Ariel
up.
Ariel has the vav.
Yeah, Ariel has the vav, yeah. I have a feeling it's just either carelessness or to help you read it better.
No, no.
Mine doesn't have a vav, but it has a dagesh that makes the sound of a vav.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's a good question.
I asked a rabbi once. I didn't really know. He just shrugged his shoulders like gematriot. I don't know.
I don't know. So there's a lot of different remazim in the mizmor and how it relates to the menorah. There's 49 letters that Rabbeinu Bechaye, I think, says. There's 49 words in the menorah, in the mizmor, and there are 49 givim, kaftorim, and prachim, like cups and flowers and everything on the actual menorah in Beit HaMikdash. So it matches 49. There are 7 pisukim, 7 branches in the menorah, and more. But I didn't memorize all the remazim and all the gematriot. There are. I'm not saying there aren't. I just don't know if this is relevant to it. You have to double check.
They added the vav to the newer editions of the Avodat HaKodesh.
Yeah. So I don't have to double check that. I wonder if it's for that reason or otherwise. I usually try, when I prepare these kapurot, I usually try to over-prepare because who knows if you're going to ask me something that I'm actually about to say or not. This was one of the things that I didn't over-prepare. That's a good question, though. I think it's a very fair question. I've never been so astute to notice that. I hope that you don't spend the rest of the night going through every siddur in the shul, looking through every single one to see what they have. I know I would. I don't recommend you. I don't recommend you do it.
The old Birkat Rafaels did have the extra vav. The new ones do not.
No way. I've never paid this much attention.
There's a cheshbon. There's a cheshbon.
That's Rabbi Zavichi. Rabbi Zavichi is 1,200. I made a mistake last week. It's not 1,100 pages. It's the Sefer. It's 1,200 pages. Oh, okay. I made a mistake last week. The Sefer that he wrote on the entire Ketoret. And I started looking in the table of contents on what he talks about, the Lam Natseach Menorah. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like the first like 3 pages in this table of contents, it keeps on seeing the same page and just more about the menorah. I'm like, oh, it's probably like 2 pages. This is great. And then he keeps going and going and going. It's like 100 pages. I'm like, okay, close it. Put it away. Hashem Shigubis and Arichut Yamim to be able to go through all 1,200 pages. And it's only part 2, 1,200 pages. Part 1 of Mizav Mipais is about the actual Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Pinchas Zavichi's Sefer. Part 2 is about the Ketoret and, you know, Agav is about the Menorah. Part 1 is also is all Masechet Yuma. It's crazy, crazy. Gosh, like, man, is unbelievable how much, you know, I'm sure my wife gets, like, you know, eventually fed up with me when I'm, like, stuck on one topic for 3 months. Can you imagine writing a 1,200-page Sefer? Like, how much patience your wife has to have? It's not a gedol. Gedolatan Hanishay Mechabrei Hazman. It's crazy. Can you imagine how much can you talk about this for? Okay, wow. So, no problem. You're always welcome. There's 4 pshatim in Islam Natseach between the Geula. It's a prayer for the future. Geula says the Chidan, Chomat Anah. The Malbim says it's actually, about David HaMelech and the justice that was rendered in the episode with Shaul's sons and the different, nations that were in Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to get into the narrative now. Check out Sefer Shemuel and Divrei Hayamim for more information about that. And the third shot, the Radak says, it's about Kibbutz Galuyot, it's about the future ingathering of all the exiles, everybody coming together. We're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everyone should recognize him and bring us all together. And and if you look in the words carefully, the Chidah points out a nice remez in the words of the Mizmor. It says in the beginning, Elohim yechonenu vivarechen. Elohim is usually a lashon of din, not rachamim. And yet, the Chidah says in the future, Hashem's din will turn to rachamim also. And his rachamim, even his din will give us a beracha, says the Chidah. And in addition to that, A fourth pshat is actually lying in the words, and I never realized this until yesterday. When I was like, you know what? I have a chidah in Sefer Tehillim. I know I did a lot of preparing, but I want to do a little bit more. I opened the chidah and I found this wild pshat that made everything make a lot more sense. The chidah says, look in this pasuk. Elohim yechonenu v'varechenu ya'ir panav itanu sela. What do these words remind you of?
Birkat Kohanim.
Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim, exactly. It says, Yichonenu, Yivarechenu, Ya'er, Panav. Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'yichoneka. Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha. This Birkat Kohanim is latent in the words of the Pesukim. In the words of the Pasuk. Says the Chidah, it's a tefillah that Hashem should bless us with a beracha like Birkat Kohanim. Hashem should bless us with a beracha like Birkat Kohanim. And the Goyim should recognize how Hashem gives us that beracha. And it's even mirum, and all of this idea of the Goyim's recognition, by the way, is mirumaz. It's hinted in the words. Because the perek goes through Amim, Goyim, and what else was there? Yerducha Amim, called Goyim Mishuatecha, and Yiranenu Leumim. Goyim, Amim, Leumim, three different languages for the nations of the world. They should all recognize his Kadosh Baruch Hu and recognize his Berachot and his justice. Whichever pshat you take, this is relevant. So now all of that said, what is this segula? What is this segula of the Lamnatzeach Menorah? Where does this come from? Why? What does it accomplish? And yesterday I basically told you that Shmoneh Esrei is secondary to the Ketoret. That was last week. What could I possibly tell you today? Well, I can't tell you, like, I think it's like so, it's so peculiar what people say about the Lamnatzeach Menorah. And I think that there's a lot of interest for us to pursue this and to see how we can enhance our tefillah on a daily basis, on a regular basis, as well as a semi-regular basis. The sources that discuss this are, of course, the Arizal. But in addition to that, the Chidah and others quote a number of other mikorot for the segula of reciting this parak of Lamnatzeah. And a few of them, not all of them, a few of them give credence to the recitation of it from a cloth that looks like a menorah. The Shevet Musar was a Musar sefer written about a few hundred years ago. He and many others quote from an Igeret HaRamban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, Nachmanides, who had many great things to say about this mizmor. And he says that anyone who recites mizmor lamnatzeach min ginot in the shape of the menorah, every day at Netz HaChama, lo yikre lo shum mikrera. No matter, nothing bad will happen to you that day. And Hashem considers it as if you lit the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. In addition, some say, maybe the Ramban says, that you should dafka recite this during the Omer, after Sefirat HaOmer, hence that's what we do. After Sefirat HaOmer, we say Harachaman, and then we say the Lamnatzeach and Ana B'Koa. And one who recites this, listen carefully, one who recites this during Birkat Kohanim will never be harmed. Okay, have tremendous Hatzlacha, B'Chol Ma'asta. And he and the Shevet Musar and others continue that if you look at the shape, you will be safe. And it'll keep, and it's a good thing to say this every single day. And the Chidah and others say that it's a segula for safe travels, etc. The Ramban offers this interesting segula of saying it at Nates. It'll protect you. The Abu Derhem, usually Ashkenazim pronounce it Abu Draham. There's no such person or sefer called Abu Draham. There is not. Abu Draham isn't a word. Abu Derhem, Dirham is a coin that they used to have. Abu means father of. We're not really sure, but if anything, his name was probably Abu Dirham. Rabbeinu David Abu Derhem says that there are these Ramazim of the 49 words, the 7 Pesukim. And the Ramah says, the Ramah has a sefer called Torah Ta'ula where he discusses the matters of Beit HaMikdash and other things. And he there says that a menorah is something that protects you. It's not for naught that we have a tradition that David HaMelech's shield had a menorah on it. It wasn't made up in 1948 when they made the flag, the Israeli flag, you know, with the shield and everything. And the menorah on it. It's an old idea. And it's not for now that this is our tradition. So Maran Echida wrote a sefer called Avodat HaKodesh, which is really a number of svarim. And in that sefer, Avodat HaKodesh, he has a number of halacha svarim, a number of segula svarim, a number of tefila svarim, where he tells you all sorts of interesting things in halacha, segula for certain things. And in Tziporen Shamir, the Chida writes that me'od hifligu, there is so much has been said about the benefits, the spiritual benefits of reciting this Lamnatzeach in the shape of a menorah all the time. Tremendous sachar. And even if we don't understand the lofty secrets and benefits, it doesn't matter. It oseh nachar ruach l'Hashem. It does Hashem so much good. He appreciates it so much that we should recite the menorah with kavana off of a cloth. The Chida repeats this in Kaf Achat, where he says it's a segula based on that same Shevet Musar. It's a segula for us to read it on our way. If you want to go on a traveling somewhere, a person should recite Lamnatzeach, meaning Hinom is Mashir. And in Idvar Kedemot, the Chida quotes from the Maharshal and from the Rokeach, who was a Rishon, how they wrote extensively about this segula. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed this mizmor to David HaMelech in the shape of a menorah. And David HaMelech carried it around on a golden plate, a golden, necklace. He took it to war with him. He had kavana as he looked at it, and he triumphed in battle. And anyone who looks at it now will find chen de'enei Hashem uve'enei ha'adam, especially if it's on the Aron Kodesh, which you find many shuls have a picture of this menorah, the Lamnatzeach menorah, on the Aron Kodesh. On the parochet, it'll protect the kehilah from bad things. So, you can keep on going on and on and on, segula, segula, segula. It's a good thing. Clearly, it's highly approved of by many rishonim, acharonim, rokeach, maharshal, rama, chida, shevet musar, etc.
Over the rav.
Yeah.
Are we not supposed to have any symbols of artifacts that were from the Beit HaMikdash in a Beit Knesset? Like, you can't have a seven-pronged menorah in a Beit Knesset.
That's 100% true, only if it's three-dimensional. Only if it's three-dimensional. 100% correct. Lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun kidmut sham asha, you're not allowed to make figures of my servants, Hashem says. And that, according to one opinion, one shot in the Gemara, which we accept the halacha, all of them, is that you can't have replicas of the clay hamikdash ever created unless it's for the mikdash. But that only applies if it's three-dimensional with respect to the Beit HaMikdash artifacts. 100% correct. Now, before we continue on to a couple of procedural matters, or rather a procedural matter is, how do you draw this thing? How are you supposed to draw this thing? You can draw a menorah in seven branches, but Hebrew goes right to left, English goes left to right. How are you supposed to draw this guy? How do you draw out the words of the menorah when you go from the Lamnatzeach from the top on the top? Do you go immediately down, or do you Do you go back to the beginning, like in these pictures? Which I probably should just open one of them, make clear photo of one of them. If you see here, Lamnatzeach, and it's Moshir, and then it immediately comes down on the left, Elohim Yechoneinu. Is that the right direction? Or maybe it should go back to the beginning and restart. So I don't think you'll find a single Sidur that has it the other way. All of our Sidurim have it this way, but it's a little bit of research, which I did not do myself. And I there's no way I could possibly do this on my own, given the tools I have. But Baruch Hashem, the people in Machon HaMa'or did a very good job of putting footnotes on the Chida's Svarim. So they say how, if you look in some of the older Svarim from the Mekubalim and others, like one of the students of the Reuch Chaim Vital, Maharshal even maybe, they actually have it the reverse, that it goes from right to left, not from left to right. And there's some Kabbalistic discussion between Rabbi Pinchas Zavichi and Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel, who weigh in on the Kabbalistic significance of one direction or the other. Another thing to keep in mind is the base. This middle pasuk, right, of Yismichu v'Yirannu Yomim, I'm pretty sure in every Siddur, when they get to the bottom, they flatten out the base, or at least they turn it into a half circle. Instead of being, you know, vertical, goes horizontal. So they actually point out how if you look in, we have a copy of the Chida's own Siddur. The Chida used the Siddur of Rashash, which has the Kavanot of the Rashash, of Shalom Sharavi, who was the Rosh Hashiva of the Mekubalim in Beit El. And in the Siddur HaRashash, the Chida used every single day for decades. Back then, they didn't have, you know, printed Lamnatzeach menorahs. Anyone who wanted one would take a piece of paper, take a quill, and write one. And then he would stick it in his Siddur or put it on the wall of the shul or wherever. So the Chida wrote one himself, stuck it in his Siddur. And we have that too. If you look in the Siddur of the Chida, which doesn't mean the Siddur that you, like Rabbi Cohen has, the printed Siddur that says Siddur HaChida, it means literally the Siddur that HaChida used, his menorah didn't have a base. The pasuk just went straight down. So there's some, either it's aesthetic or Kabbalistic significance to how to draw the menorah itself. In terms of that, Rav Yaakov Hillel has some discussion. You can look in his Kovetz Mekav Tziel that comes out from Ahavat Shalom, volume 30. And in terms of the direction, there is an Ashkenazi rabbi named Rav Yosef Lieberman, who has a set of svarim called Mishnat Yosef. Over there, he says that the right to left business could depend on which way you hold about the menorah. The menorah in the Beit HaMikdash was either north-south or was east-west. It's Machloket Tanaim and others. So it could be that the one interpretation is it depends on which position you accept. And there's further discussion about this, but I didn't spend so much time on it. Clear so far? So far we discussed some interpretations of the Pesukim. The Segula is beautiful, Seidat Neitz and other things, you know, prevent you from harm and great, say during Birkat Kohanim, during the Omer. And now we discuss the image. Well, what about how? How are you supposed to recite this thing? The Ben Yishkai says, first of all, if you don't have a Siddur with it on you, if your smartphone doesn't have a Siddur and you can't check Google Images for a copy, the Ben Yishkai says, just imagine, as you say the words, imagine yourself, imagine the menorah and the words as you recite them by heart or through a Siddur. And Od Yosef Chai, if you dig through the Ben Yishkai's Od Yosef Chai in Parashat Vayigash, is like extremely long. Extremely long on Hilchot Tefillah. If you ever want to know a lot about how our Tefillah works on a Kabbalistic level, highly recommend. Take 5 hours of your time. Go through the Od Yosef Chai on Parashat Vayigash. It's fantastic. So over there he says that you should actually hold up the Siddur vertically, not hold it sideways or diagonally. Hold it up vertically so that the menorah is vertical like it was in the Beit HaMikdash. Just a little bit awkward, but It's an additional level of segula. Obviously, it's not me'akev at all, but it is something that you could take advantage of.
You get used to it.
Good. Not everyone knows about this. I've discovered. Not everyone knows about it, or not everyone takes it seriously to add on this extra nekuda.
So, al pi sod, if a person should hold, let's say you were talking about the direction that the menorah would face, meaning, let's just say Lam Natzeach and Shir would be one side or the other. You would have Shir facing the Hechal. Shir would be closer to east, and the Lam Natz prong would be closer to west.
In the Beit HaMikdash? Yeah, probably. According to one opinion, yes.
We hold that Api Asod?
I don't know. Api Asod even, I don't know the answer.
Does it make a difference to say a person is sitting in a Beit Knesset with his cloth? Does it make a difference where he holds it?
So this much, I don't believe I've seen anybody mention. I'm not saying it's not valuable. I just don't know. I haven't seen any sources that indicate you should go that far. That you should sit back in a direction that matches the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash. I don't believe I've seen anybody say anything about it. It's possible that you're being mechadish, a new layer of observance, which is great. I'm happy to be the house that sold the winning ticket for the lotto. I'm happy to be the that store. But I'm not familiar with anybody who says that. Now, Ben Sion Mutzafi in Orchot Sion, Ben Sion Mutzafi was a Rebbe in Par Yosef, or a Mashgiach in Par Yosef, he has his own Rosh Hashiva, and recently they put out a lot of these own of Svarim of his Torahs, from that he gives in Musayaf in the Shul, in the Bukharim. Ben Sion Mutzafi, his father was a big Mekubal, of Salman Mutzafi, always wore white, whatever. So he told his son, Ben Sion, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have it in front of you, just imagine it. He didn't seem to take it so seriously that you must always have your klaf on. Now, time is short. I want to cover two more things. Number one is when we recite this. What are exactly the times at which we recite Lamnatzeah? And then very importantly is printed versus handwritten. What's going on over there? What are the challenges halachically with having a menorah? So when we recite this, we already heard Nates. But aren't I davening at Nates? I'm supposed to be doing Shmoneh Esrei at Nates. So again, Rav Salman Mutzafi told Rav Ben Sion Mutzafi that if at the end of Shmoneh Esrei is also one of the times that is indicated at which you should be reciting the Lamnatzeh. And if you recited at the end of Shmoneh Esrei that you began at Nates, it's as if you recited at Nates also. And this is what he would always do. Unless he was out of time, they already started doing Chazar HaShatz. It says, in your Sidur, exactly. In the Avodat HaKodesh Sidur, beautiful. So Rav Salman Mutzafi said, as long as you have time, you should say it then. And it's as if you said it at Nates, as long as you started Shimon Ayis say at Nates. But if you're not davening at Nates, you know, you might as well say it at Nates too. So the Chidah quotes from Rechaim Vital, the Arizal also, that most commonly we recite Lamnatzeach at before Baruch Sheamar, after Hashem Melech, during the week. There is another segula for after Shmoneh Esrei, fine. On Shabbat, most commonly we replace this mizmor with Hashemayim Misaperim Kevod El. But some recommend reciting both of them, just privately reciting Lamnatzeach min Ginot Mizmor Shir. That was the practice of the Ben Ishchai on Chol Moed as well. On Chol Hamoed, some say you should also switch to Shamayim Misaperim, but the practice is mostly that we stick to Lamnatzeach Bin Ginot. Some switch for Hoshana Rabbah, there it's Minhagim, fine. As we said, Sefirat HaOmer at night, the Arizal corroborates this. And now what was most interesting was the Ramban. The Ramban said, during Birkat Kohanim, which as Rav Chaim Falaschi and others explain, means during the actual Birkat Kohanim. But we know, as we discussed in the past, you're not supposed to do nothing during Birkat Kohanim. No reciting anything. Right? Ashkenazim, they say some of the psukim that you're not supposed to say, but they say it while during the ayayayayayayayim. But we don't have that. So what are you supposed to do? So I thought Pshat just was that when the Shaliach Tzibur says, Yivarech Echa, so then you recite, you know, Lamnatzeach Min Ginot Mizmor quickly. If you can. But not while the Kohanim were actually saying the words. But it seems like nobody understood the way I understood. Fine. No, I don't have to be right. But this led to a great conversation between the grandson of the Chafetz Chaim, of Yaakov Chaim Sofer, Shalita, who is a very prolific author with lots of very uncharacteristic, just Shlita. There's tremendous expertise in the world of history and halacha and figuring out these things. And Rav Benayahu Dayan, who is a Rosh Kolel in Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's Kolel, Darchei Hora'ah, in Yerushalayim. They deal with this a little bit. A little bit is an understatement. They deal with this. And the Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer thinks that it's no different from the prayer we recite. If you have a bad dream, the Gemara says you should recite a prayer during the Birkat Kohanim. It's for Sakana, to make sure that you're safe. So too, this is to keep you safe from danger, from Sakana. And therefore, we let you recite that during Birkat Kohanim. But Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer says he found Rav Chaim Palachi Sefer, and Rav Chaim Palachi in a different Sefer actually says that, remember we said this is just like Birkat Kohanim in the first, in the second Pasuk, Elohim Yochalanenu Yivarachenu Yayapan Yitanu Sela. It's equal to Birkat Kohanim. The Gemara and Sota said, don't recite other things during Birkat Kohanim. But Birkat Kohanim, we You can recite that during Birkat Kohanim. That's not a problem. That's Rav Chaim Falaji's interpretation. Now, the Achronim debate whether or not that's valuable or not. Maybe Rav Chaim Falaji misunderstood the Ramban as it was quoted, which, by the way, we don't have this Ramban printed anywhere. Could be it's a different person or a different sefer. Made a mistake. Who knows? But Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer found a Maharshal that almost explicitly says what he thinks to be the truth. It's not Birkat Kohanim of Chazar Hashatz. It's Birkat Kohanim after Birkot HaTorah, after Birkot HaShachar. And in the morning, after you recite Birkot HaShachar and Birkat Kohanim yourself, then you should recite Lam Natseach and Yom Yizmor Shir. Matt is like, forget it. No way. No way. Okay, no way. Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer says, nobody else said like me, but I think this is the Emet. There are too many Rayot against me. And Rav Benayahu Dayan in Divrei Benayahu, he's like a 24-volume Sefer of Divrei Benayahu, keeps on coming out with them. It's unbelievable. He says, nobody says like you, Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer. Why? Just say like Rav Yaakov Chaim Palaji says, or he had a different shot, whatever. The truth is, though, not nobody said like Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer. Rav Avadia says like Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer. Rav Avadia and Chazon Avadia and Hilchot Yom Tov, where he discusses Sfirat HaOmer and reciting Lam Natseach after Sfirat HaOmer, says the same shot as Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, that it means after Birkot HaShachar, not during the Chazar HaShatz. And this is quoted by a Talmud of his, of Almog Levi, who was a Rav in Modi'in, in his Sefer Avni Levi. But Rav Almog Levi himself thinks that Rav Benayahu Dayan is right. Not like Rav Avadia. Go like Rav Chaim Palaji. That it means during Birkat Kohanim, and he spends like 10 pages. I did not have the patience, I'm sorry, to read through all of his arguments. And he tries to really justify the practice. Now, if you ask me, I don't know all the details, but you're telling me that Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer and Rav Avadia said the same thing? Do you know what Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer is? Rav Yitzchak Yosef wrote this massive sefer called Ein Yitzchak for a reason. You know, Ein Yitzchak was written as a response to Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, because Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, whatever Rav Avadia wrote, he just said is wrong, and he wrote the opposite. It's true. To the point that Rav Yitzchak Yosef, in his introduction to this massive encyclopedia, writes the whole reason. I'm not joking for a second. I'm not exaggerating. Open up Chelek Bet. He says in the Hakdama, the only reason I wrote this Sefer, I'm just paraphrasing, translating. The only reason I wrote this Sefer is because Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer wrote that whatever my father said is wrong. To the point that if it said Shema Yisrael and Yabia Omer and Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'aretz Yisrael in Yabia Omer, he would have said it's wrong too. He would have said whatever my father says is wrong. So I'm writing this whole Sefer to tell you that he's wrong too. He's wrong then. That's the whole raison d'etre of the Sefer. Now, you want to tell me, Mr. Rabbi Benayahu Dayan and Rabbi Almog Levi, that Rav Avadia and Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer said the same thing and they're both wrong? No way, because they're both going to tell you other ways, other way. If they agree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with them too. You know, there's no, you don't have to have further conversation on this topic. I think the Emet is probably like them. Also, because it's a very esoteric source, it's not corroborated by anything else. They're probably, just because of Chaim Palachi understood it differently, that doesn't mean that was the Emet. So, that's what I would say. But again, who am I? Listen to Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. Yes, Arya.
Speaking about Porat Yosef, what does it mean? What does it mean, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Alei Ayin? The bottom, and we have like a lot of like, we got like a few other words like Som, Kol Mamon, and whatever.
So, you have to ask Rabbi Eliyahu Ben Chaim, because it takes a real mikubal to understand these things. Those pisukim are not at all part of this conversation. They were added on later by other people. Rav Eliyahu Ben Chaim thinks that it's just a funny way. He was once approached by someone who claimed to be a mikubal. And the guy's like, I need a mikubal, and yesh li yeshiva, tachzik oti. So he took him over to the shiviti in the shul, and he said, tazvir li mazeh. He explained to me, what is this? And the guy starts saying, oh, yisodot, zeh. And Harav is like, excuse me, I know what it is. You don't know what it is. Forget you. You're not a mikubal. So I don't know what it is. I'm not a mikubal. Rabbi Eliyahu Ben Chaim knows the Arizal backwards and forwards. They're right above your head, Ariel, to the left, above the Igros Moshe. It's a whole shelf of Zohar, To your left, literally one to your left. You see the shelf right there? Yeah, go up two things, one more. That whole black shelf is Arizal and Zohar. All of that stuff, Rabbeinu Eliyahu ben Chaim knows by heart. You can ask him. He knows the whole thing by heart. He can explain it to you. Now, I know it's 9:45, but if you'll permit me, I do have one more point to address. I'm sorry if you have to go to Arvit. If you'll permit me, I have one more point to address. Just to finish off, though, we recite this Lam Natzeah after Shir Shal Yom, during the Sefira, according to some communities, after Tikkun Chatzot, after Mincha, before Arvit and Motzei Shabbat, and Ben Ish Chai says, even before Berkat HaMazon. Now, I wanted to address this final point of printed versus handwritten. Is it really important for it to be written? Can you just print it? Well, the fact that you all have Sidurim where it's printed clearly indicates that it is okay. But you still get the same Segula. Well, I can't speak for Hashem. I don't know. But I can tell you that the Ma'or people quote how some Sidurim were actually printed with the figure of the menorah, the outline of the menorah, and then the printer went and filled in by hand the actual Pisukim throughout the menorah. So clearly some people thought that it was pretty important. The problem is that we discussed last week. You can't just write Pisukim for nothing. You can't have a sefer, unless it's a sefer shalim, a full sefer of Tanakh, you can't do that. Even, especially if it's just for decor, you shouldn't be allowed to.
Writing on paper doesn't do anything. It's klaf that makes it something.
Right, I'm talking about the klaf. Okay. Maybe it's inspirational and therefore it is okay. So some posts can say, okay, but don't write it on the wall. Don't you etch it into the wall, you have problems erasing Hashem's name when you want to do construction. But in addition to what we said last week about the Ketoret, I was very surprised that Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who did take a strong stance when it comes to the Ketoret, to say you shouldn't go to write one, but with the Evid it's okay, he actually says the Chatzila that you are allowed to write one of these menorahs. And he didn't really explain what the difference is. Rav David Yosef is consistent. He says the Chatzila you should not be writing one. But there are some very clear differences, right? Rav David Teherani, who's a Rav in Beitar, author of the Sefer Divrei David, and he's a very big Mavin in Kashrut. Rav Machputz Kashrut, I think, he's one of the major people there. Rav David Teherani, he's not Mashadi, he's clearly Teherani. So in Eretz Yisrael, they say Tarani, they don't understand. It's not Tara, it's Teheran. But whatever, fine. Rav David Teherani writes that there's clearly two differences here. Number one, the Gemara, the way that Rambam presents it, is that you can't write a Megillah of a Parsha because you're not writing a whole Sefer Torah. But when it comes to Nevi'im and Ketuvim, Tehillim, you never have to write a whole Sefer. At least the way the Rambam sounds, it should be fine to just write the Perek of Tehillim anyway. The Gemara doesn't sound that way. But at least from the Rambam, it sounds like there's a difference. Plus, when I'm writing the menorah, there's a shinoi there. It's not, that's not even writing one whole pasuk. It's not straight. And it's broken up. That's clearly not a problem. Plus, there are other leniencies we already had in the previous week, by last week, the Ketorah, that all add up to Rav David Teherani saying it's totally fine. Don't worry about it. So that takes care of the writing on a cloth and a sharit problem in and of itself with Divrei Torah, but there is a more general issue that the Sha'arei Teshuvah on the very first page of Orach Chaim says that people write Hashem's name, they write Pesukim that inspire them on a cloth, on a parchment, and they put it in their Sidur, but then it falls out, it gets ruined, it gets damaged, and it gets lost, and it's a bizayon to Hashem's name. You can get lashes, you can get Malkut just for not mistreating Hashem's name. So he thought, and it's quoted by Chaim Palagi also, the Sha'arei Teshuvah, that you should never have to do this. And you should never have, even though it's for Shivita Hashem the Negdi Tamid, you shouldn't, because only if you're putting it on the wall of the shul where it'll be stuck and nothing will happen to it, should you be writing Alam Natzeach Menorah. The Mishnah Berurah right there in Sif Katan Dalid, Siman Aleph in Orach Chaim, says that more than that, you have to make sure it's behind glass. Otherwise, the candles in the shul will ruin your menorah. Remember, you don't have lights. They only had candles to light things up, so the candle will ruin it. And the Aruch HaShulchan is even more machmir in Yoredeh and Rish Ayin Vav. The Aruch HaShulchan says, never do this. It's a bizayon to the Torah. Ah, says Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, but we know that there were many gedolim who had parchments with pesukim or lamatzeach menorahs, and it inspired them and it helped them, and they did it. So okay, the minhag is to be mekel. The minhag is to be mekel, but the Ben Ishchai is anti. What it all comes down to is, will you or will you not be careful? If you won't be careful with Hashem's name, with pesukim that are written on cloth with asherit and ink, so then you shouldn't be getting involved. But if you can be careful, you'll frame it, you'll hang it, it'll be safe, then it's okay. And it's okay. Rav Chaim Falaji used to do this. The Chikri Lev, many used to do this. And Rav Zabichi again says, listen, this is a Hanach Lam Yisrael, this is a Minhag, this is what we do. It'll be fine, but don't just write Hashem's name for nothing. You only write what you need. Rav Tzafi also warns about not disgracing and erasing Hashem's name. So I was thinking about reading this last night, yesterday afternoon. I was reading this, and we're basically done. I was reading this last night, and I remembered, wait a minute. When I was learning in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshivat Sha'alvim, one of my rebbes knew me to be a very super Sephardi, and there was elections going on at the time. The Avadi was still alive. There was elections going on, and back then it wasn't elections every 6 months or 3 months. It was elections every few years. It was a little bit more normal than it is now. In Eretz Yisrael. And Shas was, campaigning around, putting up Shas posters everywhere. So my Rebbe came to Yeshiva one morning with this bag. This Shas bag. And I'm like, what is this? He said, my son got it from somewhere for free. He thought he would enjoy it. I'm like, oh wow, what is this? So I opened it up. It's a Tefilat Haderech that has a Rav Avadya on it. Says, at Asaya Anuchi Mevakeh. Okay. Rav Avadya wants us to vote for him. It was a swag sticker. Rav Avadya, vote for Shas. And it was also this thing. What is this little thing? It's Rav Avadya. And Rav Avadya says that it says in the Zohar that whoever says the Ketoret every single day with Kavana will have tremendous beracha. And what's inside? A ketoret. It's not a cloth. It's not worth $900. It's probably worth $2. It's a printed version of the ketoret. Like a little sidur. And what's on the back? I'm not saying anyone. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is so exactly what we're saying you shouldn't do. What was Shas thinking? Rav Ben Zion Mutzafi cries. That we find copies of this mizmor thrown all over the streets throughout Eretz Yisrael. It's not good. And I'm like, and last night I'm like remembering, like I had this kept this like in a shelf, whatever. And never, I ended up losing and finding it numerous times. This is exactly what they gave out. This is exactly what can get thrown around all over the place. That's a problem. That's a problem. So we have to be careful. When we get things with Hashem's name on it, we have to make sure that we don't disgrace them.
Those are definitely written with Yud Yud and Elohim.
Yeah, it's Hashem's name on it.
No, but it's Yud Yud. It's not the same.
Yud K Vav K.
No.
Yeah. The actual Ketoret also has Yud K Vav K on it. I don't know if you can see. The light might be too dark, too bright.
Take your word for it.
I'll send you a picture, but be careful with the picture.
A digital image is nothing.
So okay, this is printed also. Maybe it might be nothing also. So
that's printed.
So this is something to be careful about. If you get these things, realize that it's not just something you can throw in the garbage or throw around. And I was talking to, and in addition to all of this, the challenges here. I was talking to Rav Schefter. I mentioned this also last week, but not fully. I was talking to Rav Schefter about. But this whole idea of reciting the Ketoret off of the scroll and the segula. And I said how he says that this whole thing is weird because there's no halachic significance to writing one perek of the Torah with a brayta on a cloth. There is no halachic significance to any of it. And when there's no halachic significance to things, so then you shouldn't feel in a brisker Rambam, Salavetric world, things that don't fit into the framework of halacha, things that are super or halachic, are not important. They're not things that really guide us and represent Judaism. And then I told him today, well, Rebbe, what about this thingy? What about this thingy? This little menorah business is like, mazeh? Mazeh? And I'm like, what do you mean, Rebbe? He's like, what is that? I'm like, Rebbe, it's just a menorah. He's like, that's even worse. That means nothing. This isn't even anything. It's not even a perek. So I'm like, maybe that's better. He's like, okay, maybe it's better. Maybe it's worse. It's not correct. As in Rav Soloveitchik's words, we don't ceremonialize Judaism. We don't make something out of nothing in Judaism. Rav Soloveitchik was unhappy even just having the rabbi stand and give a drasha from the top of the shul. There's no halachic significance to that. So there's also no halachic significance to this. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't need a rabbi to take our tefillot up to Shemayim for us. We don't need segulot to take our tefillot up to Shemayim for us. We have tefillah to go up to Shemayim. And that's the best thing of them all. The best segula is Torah and mitzvot. You don't need anything else. Now that's one perspective. And the 300, 400, 500, 600 years of Mikubalim I told you about is another perspective. They're both beautiful. And we should appreciate both of them. And in the words of Rav Eliel Bachshi Doron, who is 11 months, what is this week, just to conclude, with the Mizmor represents Birkat Kohanim. And the idea is that we follow in Hashem's ways, we go in His ways, to be Kaddish Shem Shemayim in the eyes of the nations, right? That all the nations will recognize the Kaddish Baruch Hu, as that is the Ikar Kiddush Hashem, that everybody should see Him, then Hashem will bless us with Hashra'at HaShekhinah, with resting His Shekhinah on us. And as the Mizmor ends, Yivarachenu Elohim Yiviru Oto Kol Asearetz, Hashem will bless us and all of the nations, everybody in the world will fear Him. If we truly want to merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Berachot for this world, for all of our Hatzlacha and our Parnasa and all the other things that we do, we need to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, we will be zochet to having the Shekhinah rest on us in everything that we do. And everything that we do means Torah and Mitzvot. So everybody's right. Everybody's right. This is one more opportunity, one more medium, one more strategy for us to get those zechuyot. And Mezar Hashem, we should use it well. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.
Rabbi, quick question.
Yeah, questions are always welcome.
So the Rambam's opinion of the shape of the menorah is not the way that we see it. We see it very loopy.
Right. The Rabban has Rambam in his own handwriting in Mishnah Torah had a straight.
Right.
It's like V's. Right. Huh?
Like the Chabad menorah.
Like the Chabad menorahs are all straight like the Rambam. Right. We have the manuscript of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam himself had straight. But if you look in the Arch of Titus, it's round. So now everyone has to figure out which one's the emet. The Rambam wasn't there.
If there's no halakhic ramification to the shape of the menorah, who cares? Why is he even like contesting anything?
So that's true. That's part of the conversation. Part of the conversation is, okay, so very nice. The menorah that day was round, and maybe the one before it was straight. It doesn't make a difference in halakha. It's true. That's true. So whichever one you build is probably kasher. But in terms of making a pasuk, a perek of Tehillim in the shape of a menorah, there's no significance to that in halacha. The whole idea is what Rav Schechter was complaining about. Is that what your point is?
Yeah, that's...
The whole idea is it has zero significance in halacha. Just like rabbis will try to create programming that's meaningful for people, but doesn't actually have any significance. But they're doing it as a means to get people to come to shul and to engage with them and to use it as a gateway to bring them into the shul and setting and Torah learning and the like. So the complaint was that if you do that too much, people think that's more important than the Judaism itself. People think that that's part of Judaism when it's really not. You know, a bar mitzvah celebration means zero.
Would the Rambam take steps forward and backwards before his Shmon Esra? Before and after?
I don't think he mentions it, no.
He doesn't.
I don't think so.
So we're making stuff up left and right then?
So the question is, how much do you view the influence of Kabbalah? is the Kabbalah.
I view it a lot. I view it a lot.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Listen, if not for Rav Avadia, I would be a very ardent Ben Yishchai guy. Whatever Rav Avadia doesn't argue on, so I try to keep Li Nedir. But there is a whole school of thought that doesn't appreciate those things. So I just wanted to share that with you. I'm not telling you you have to follow it, but you should appreciate that there is a school. I'm not telling you it's right or wrong. Who am I?
Choshk Judaism. Who wants that?
That's called Litvish. That's called Choshk Judaism. It's called Litvish.
It's like eating crackers every day for the rest of your life. Who wants that?
And you know what? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik would tell you that's called Avodas Hashem. And there's a reason why Chassidus was a response. Right?
Right.
Right? There's a lot to it. There's a lot of history, a lot of halacha, a lot of machshava to these things.
So you're telling me that Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't use his right hand to put on his talit? He would just throw it on his head?
He might have, because there's a halachic significance to using your right hand.
Right, right. But that halacha came from a minhag. It wasn't just like, it came from the minhag of Sod.
Right, right. I don't know if it's Sod, it's a halachic thing. That right always goes first. Kol pino shatapone.
Right.
I mean, once you have a halachic construct, you can use that to explain minhagim. That's the whole enterprise of Ashkenazi Tameh minhagim, is to retroactively try to give meaning to what the minhagim that they have are, hoping that maybe you're getting close to what the original intention was.
The Shulchan Aruch's opening statement is, I'm not here to uproot minhagim. I'm only here to clarify laws that are not established with minhag.
Right.
So if we have minhag to do certain things, they used to sing the Slam Natseach when they would light the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. There is substantiation to this Slam Natseach in the Shem the menorah.
I don't remember if it was this one, but they used to sing lots of Tehillim in the Beit HaMikdash. That's true. The question is, you have to recite it every single day. If it's printed in your Siddur, should you feel like it's a valuable thing, or just you're saying Tehillim? Rav Soloveitchik would say, according to Rav Shechter, Rav Soloveitchik would say, It's not important. Learn Torah. You want to say Tehillim? Say Tehillim. Beautiful. But it's not a heebie-jeebie, non-halachic, thing. This is an approach.
Wow. Soloveitchik would completely destroy this whole Nishmat Kol Chai business women do.
That's another thing. I'll tell you something else I heard. I don't know if it's true. I'll tell you something I heard that I don't know if it's true, but it sounds a little bit ridiculous. That a certain rabbi would not recite Kabbalat Shabbat because the Rambam doesn't mention it. So what? The Rambam doesn't mention it. It's because there was no such thing as the Chadodi until 300 years later.
Right.
Who cares if the Rambam didn't say it? The point is that our minhag is to say it. No. Okay. Everyone has his own derech and avodah Hashem. Even if you think the other guy is ridiculous. Okay.
The Rambam also didn't have Tylenol or Advil when he had a headache. The guy should not take that either.
Beautiful. And maybe the Rambam appreciated Shabbat without the Chadodi. But we need a Chadodi to get us in the mood. If you're late, I'm not going to tell you have to say the Chadodi. You can skip it. But it's something that you might appreciate and will help you appreciate the Shabbat experience by singing praises to HaKadosh Baruch. For example, there are different Derachim now without Hashem. They're all beautiful. Some of them less, some of them more. It's good to be aware of what everybody is and appreciate each other, even if we would never observe anything like them ever in life. The point, though, is that we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now with more kavana. Elohim yichvonenu yivarechenu ya'er panah yitanesela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us with all the berachot of Birkat Kohanim, which the Nedat Mikra, they point out, just like Birkat Kohanim is a beracha for Parnasa and the land, as is evidenced in various contexts. So to this parak of Tehillim begins with the bracha Birkat Kohanim and ends with a bracha for the land. And we pray, it's an opportunity to pray for our parnasa, pray for the geula, pray for kibbutz galuyot, and we should be zochet to all these things, Bezat Hashem. All right, thank you very much, guys.
Last question.
Please, I'm here.
Is there a difference? Does a person get the same credit reading it off paper that's printed as he does from a cloth?
So it depends how serious you are about it. Some of the earlier sources, the ones that mention the menorah, say klach, and they seem to imply just like a ketoret scroll. Nobody says they have to be together. The ketoret and the thing. The chidaz was on a separate piece of paper. But nowadays, you're already getting a ketoret. You put this on also. You put it in the shul, frame it, whatever, very nice. Right. Yakut Yosef, like, okay, if you have a clap, very nice. If you want to read it off of the menorah, very nice. Not obligated to. I think it's whatever you can, you know, to say there. Extra levels of segula.
Right.
No, you can drive the Harley, or let me rephrase that. You can drive the Acura, the Mercedes, or the Tesla. You're still going to get to the same place. It might look nicer along the way. Hashem might appreciate the fact that you spent a little bit more money on the car. But as long as you drive safely, you know, you hope that you can pay attention, have kavana, you'll get there.
I'll take the Harley.
Okay, take the Harley. A little bit more dangerous. That's called kavanah harasha, the Harley. You know, if you have the kavanah, it can get you there in a very stylish way, but it could also it could also be very dangerous. You know, the Harley store in Middle Neck Road closed. You know, not enough people having kavanah. All right. Thank you, William. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Let me know if there's any halacha for Pesach if you're delivering any classes for that.
I'm not doing any Pesach ones. I'm not slated to, at least. I'm happy to help you with any questions that you have. But
I'm married to an Ashkenaz family, so I need to develop my own.
The simple rule is that everything that is made asur is actually mutar. That's the simple rule.
Sure.
But
can I have Gundi or no?
Gundi, I think, is actually made with flour. That might be chametz, but it depends on how you make it.
Flour, or does it have chickpeas?
Chickpeas. You might add flour also. You have to double check.
Okay.
So
if I don't add flour, then that's fine.
You want to add flour? I think Gundi is kitniot. Your wife doesn't have to keep kitniot anymore. So in your own home, do whatever you want. But listen, you have to clean for Pesach. Do you want to do that? Or have your in-laws do it for you? So it's up to you.
Well, we have to go down to Baltimore for Pesach anyway, so we don't have any kidney out.
Okay, fine.
I'll keep some in the car. So I'll listen, go to Osh, I'll come back.
Whatever, for Shalom Bayit, everything is mutar. Don't worry. Or keeping the kidney out is also mutar. Just make sure you do it bli neder. Make sure you do it bli neder. And then the Gemara says how in Bavel, the Gemara makes fun of the Bavlin. They used to eat nahama bidinahama. They used to eat their bread with their bread. On Pesach, Ashkenazim eat their potatoes with their potatoes. As long as you know what you're getting yourself into, you can do it with a smile.
But for an Ashkenaz to own kinyot is not an issue. Like, you can serve rice to a Sephardi if it comes to your house.
Right, you could. The thing is, you need to have the right kalim to cook it in.
They consider it that much chametz that even if it goes into a keli, it's their keli is tainted.
The keli is kidneyot. The keli is kidneyot. So Shafter tells the story about how he got a phone call 1 year on Chol HaMoed. A husband's like really angry, infuriated, enraged. I, Rebbe, I have to divorce my wife. She's feeding me chametz on Pesach. He's like, what happened? She served me corn. She traced up the whole house. Heavy, she said, it's like, dude, it's kidneyot. You can own kidneyot if you want. It's fine. Relax. Shalom bayit, whoever they are. You know, but, gotta know what the halacha says and the halacha doesn't say. Ashkenazim can't eat kidneyot on Pesach. It's already bad enough. Don't have to make it worse for them. But in terms of general Hilchot Pesach, William, I don't have the expertise. That's truly the only reason. I haven't spent enough time learning Hilchot Pesach to be able to share it in a comprehensive, coherent way.
All good, no problem.
Yeah.
If you hear about anything in Great Neck, somewhere at YU, sure. I'm interested. I'm
Lean
not
there.
With YU anymore. I'm not on campus.
Right.
Yeah. I graduated, so it's difficult to keep in touch.
Well, Lean there. I have a few resources, Lean there, I'll share with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course. I'm happy to help. Happy to help. Thank you for asking. It's big zechut. It's your first Pesach. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Great being here tonight. Hopefully I'll see you next week again.
No, remember, you just got married. No expectation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Tomer. Good to see you, Tomer.
Good
to see your name, Tomer.
Sorry, I'm laying in my room like.
No problem.
Just appropriately.
I'm just poking fun. Don't worry. No problem. Okay, everybody, should have a great week. See you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the great learning together. I think my tefillah has been enhanced so much, and hope that I can facilitate everyone else's tefillah as well. All right. See you later.